All right, compensation. How does one get paid for a ministry? You've been taking classes, but how does that translate into a job? We talked about different ways, different things. I want to talk about a ministry now. You can start a business, you can plant a church, a lot of different things that you could do. But I want to talk about starting a Christian ministry, how to start a ministry. What is ministry? The word ministry is from the Greek word diakono, meaning to serve. That's why we call leaders in the church deacons. They are people that serve. In the New Testament, ministry is seen as a service to God and to other people in His name, which, by the way, is our spiritual dream. Remember, to connect to God and to make a difference in the lives of people. Ministry is trying to do both of those things. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, "Now to each one of you the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." The Spirit of God gives each person a spiritual gift, and the point of that gift is to be of service to the body and giving glory to God. Every Christian has a ministry. Now, every Christian doesn't get paid to do the ministry. What is a vocational ministry? Vocation means it's a job in which you get paid. It's like, you know, I play a sport, but I'm not a professional. A professional gets paid for doing the sport. We're all called to be ministers. We're all called to ministry, but all of us do not get paid. So we're talking about how you might get paid for doing ministry. A ministry that involves getting paid. Two kinds of vocational ministries. There's nonprofit. That's the typical vocational ministry. I know a lot of different ministries, NASCAR ministries. For every niche out there, there's a ministry trying to reach them. And they form a nonprofit, and that means they can raise money for their ministry. There's also a thing called a for-profit ministry. It does ministry, but it generates its own profits, and you don't have to have donors because the ministry, whatever it is that the ministry does, whether it's a product or service, pays for itself. The nonprofit vocational ministry, the advantages of a nonprofit, it's tax-free. You don't have to pay taxes to the government. People trust the nonprofit because it's not about profit, it's about ministry. You get to raise money for the ministry. So whatever it is that you do, let's say you give Bibles away, you can give them away because someone else pays for them. You can raise money for the ministry. The disadvantages of a nonprofit vocational ministry is you have to have a board. Okay? You start this thing, you have this idea, you want to do it, but now you need a board, and the board is actually in control, not you. You're a servant of the board. So you can start the ministry, and you have this vision for what it is, but then the board can come along and change it. The money you make gets taxed anyway. Okay, so if you have set up a nonprofit, you have a board, and then you work for the nonprofit, and the nonprofit pays you. When the nonprofit pays you, you receive it as income, and then you have to pay taxes on that income. Disadvantages. Sometimes, because you're a nonprofit, people don't trust you because you don't actually make a product that pays for itself. You raise money, and there's all kinds of lack of trust with the whole raising of money. Nonprofits struggle with that these days. The for-profit vocational ministry. Okay, this is a ministry. It's doing good for the kingdom of God. But it's not a nonprofit. It pays its own way. It sells a product or a service, and the product and the service pays all the expenses incurred, including hiring someone to run it. The advantages: it's easy entry. You don't have to get a certain license. You don't have to go out and find a board. You can just start it. The market determines the value of your product or your service, not the donors. See, the advantage of a for-profit ministry is When I worked for the Bible League, it was a nonprofit, and we came up with Bible studies and Bible products, and we peddled them all over the world. But we peddled them at a tremendous discount. So people were almost getting these things free. And because they were free, people said, wow, these are great. We never learned, we never improved our product because we never actually sold our product. If you go out and you have to actually make your own money and you have to sell the product has to pay for itself and it has to pay for all the staff that is involved in making the product and distributing the product and teaching people things. It has to pay for all those things. So the product has to be really good. And if it's not good, you have to improve it or you're going out of business. So the advantage of the for-profit vocational ministry is the product actually gets better and better. In a nonprofit, the product tends to not improve very much, but the relation to the donors improves. Because the real product is the donors. You have to keep the donors happy. You have to sell to them or you're out of business. So in a nonprofit, there's that confusion as to what really is our product and service? Is it to the end user or is it to the donors? In a for-profit ministry, it's very clear. And if you don't have a good product, it's not going to last. Your product has to be worth what people pay for it. Disadvantages for the for-profit vocational ministry is the market determines your value. You think you have a good idea. You think this is going to be good for the kingdom, but it's only good if people think it's good and they're willing to pay what it's worth or it's not going to last. Disadvantages, trust. Sometimes, if it's a for-profit, I remember when Henry and I started LifeNet 21, it was a non-profit, but we sold the Serendipity Bible, we had Acts sheets for prayer, we had these tapes, we had this whole kit. We sold it for $30 or something like that. And ministers would say, are you guys getting wealthy off of this? And I was like, what are you talking about? How in the world could we get wealthy off of this? So there's a little bit of distrust in the nonprofit world and the for-profit. There's distrust in the ministry world. We've heard too many stories of people making millions of dollars off of ministry. And so even a little startup, somehow people think you're making more money. Steps to starting a vocational ministry, a ministry where you actually get paid. Step one, evaluation of your personality and your particular gifts. What kind of personality do you have? Do you have a go out there and sell mentality? Are you good with product? What part of starting this fits you? And what particular gifts do you have? Are you good with ideas? Are you good with connecting to people, churches? You have to evaluate what part of what ministry fits you. Are you the salesman type? Are you the product type? Are you the customer service type of person where you're just good with people and you can help people with their needs and so on? Number two, evaluation of the spiritual needs of the Christian community. What's going on in the Christian community? What needs are there in, for example, the church? What does the church need? I just put down random things that off of the top of my head I thought about. What do church buildings need? When I think of church buildings, we just renovated ours. I think lighting, sound, these are things that churches need. Churches are way behind on these things. Church education, outreach, administration. Start thinking about all the categories of church and what you could do. Programs. If someone came to my church and said, I will manage all your visitors. People come to your church and I will send letters to them. I'll bring cookies over to them. I will get them involved in all your programs. And I only get paid if someone keeps coming to your church. I'll tell you, I'd hire that person. They're willing to manage that because, a person finally comes to my church and then we drop the ball. We don't do something with them. So look at all the different areas of church and think, am I gifted in any of these areas? If I formed a little something that could help in these areas, would a church be willing to pay me to do some of those things? Is there a service that I could do? So you start with the church needs, then maybe the denomination or interdenomination. There's all these churches in the city. Is there something that I could do that each one of these churches could pay me a little bit to do? Is there something I could organize, retreats or something? In the community, is there something going on in the community that I could do that people would be willing to pay for? So you start evaluating the Christian world. What in the Christian world in my area, is there a need, that there's frustration? You listen to pastors talk, they're frustrated about this or frustrated about that. Is there something that you could do that would alleviate that frustration? Maybe there's a possible vocational ministry there. Step three, explore products and services needed in the Christian world that could be better. Did I give any examples? No. I think of sound. Sound is just horrible in a lot of churches, and lighting. A lot of times the pastor is speaking in the darkest place in the building. I spoke at a tent church in the summer, 2,000 people inside a tent, and the pastor is lit the worst. Sun is peeking through other places, brightly lit, and where the pastor stands, you can hardly see the guy. And you have to listen to him talk for a half an hour, and your mind doesn't know why you're not listening, but it's because the lighting is so poor. Lighting today is so easy, and yet most churches have no clue how it works. If you found out how it works, right now I know I can start a business with just lighting in church. I could just go to any church randomly, show them what could be, show them what they have, and show them how inexpensive it could be. And they'd probably get on board. Step four, follow up on your past experiences. And I worked for the Bible League. We were doing New Testaments. Here's a New Testament. And we were printing the insides. This is the inside of a New Testament. And then we were customizing the cover. This one is for some youth camping place for kids. And so we'd put this cover on. Now, these people want 2,000 of them, so we'd make 2,000 of them. Here's another one. Same New Testament, but it's a biker group. This is biker people. And this is an old guy that runs this organization, and he orders, like, I don't know, he's got like 20 different ministries all over the South, and he orders for all of them. So every few months, he orders like 300 of these, and he's still got this old picture, black and white picture. That's what he likes. A biker thing. There's a lot of biker groups out there. Here's another one. Wild Horse Ministries. This guy goes around to rodeos and he tames a horse and he shares the gospel while he's doing that. So that's what he does. Okay, so at the Bible League, I was in charge of that department. It just happened to fall into my lap. And then the Bible League got rid of the whole USA department, and so I took that whole ministry with me, and I expanded it into other things. But that was my past. I bumped into these things, and you take your past with you. You take your past connections, you take the past things that you've learned. I've been doing preaching and Bible studies all my life. Now at my church, I write out a devotional for every series that we do. 7 weeks, we're going to be looking at the seven words of the cross. So I make a devotion for every single day. I make it into a book. It's 7 weeks. We just finished up 7 hymns in 7 weeks. Well, I make the book so people can follow it. When I'm done with the book, I have a book ready to go. I then publish the book. So, it's what I'm doing for my job, and it turns into a book. But it was my past. I had been doing that kind of thing for a long time. And then I figured out how I could actually do something with it. So follow up on all your past experiences, things that you've done. Is there something in there that could be a vocational ministry? Step five, follow up on all your connections. I ended up working for the Bible League because I had worked for a guy running the ministry department of the Bible League 15 years before in the Philippines. He was my supervisor in the Philippines. 15 years later, there's this connection, and somehow, we get connected, and now I have this whole different thing because of something that happened 15 years ago. You look back at your life. Who are you connected to? Never burn a bridge. With the relationships you have, don't burn any bridges, because you never know when God is going to bring that relationship back to you. possible startup ministries. So I'm just going to give you random things, and I want you to just think about preaching. Some churches are well organized, but they have their preaching is horrible. Maybe you've learned some good things. Maybe you're a good speaker. Maybe that's what you could do. Marriages and funerals. Someone who can organize things, run these things, maybe that's something you could do. Counseling. A guy that I went to school with and planted a church with, he's now in our building, and that's all he does. He does Christian counseling. Retreats and or seminars. Maybe you're good at leading groups of people. Write some seminars, maybe on marriage, on the things that people need in your community, and see if you can't get people to join these things. Write a book. Today it's so easy to write a book. Go to something like Create Space and write it out, boom, and you'll have a book. Let's see what happens. Maybe it won't work, but so what? You give it a go. Give it a try. Music ministry, maybe that's something that you're good at. Maybe you could go out and find churches that are struggling with their music ministry and start to volunteer, and who knows what that might lead to. Church child care, catering for church functions, elder care visitation. A lot of churches struggling in that area. Sound. There's so many issues with sound in churches. Become an expert in this and do sound. Church building maintenance. Church building renovation. You know, we just did that at our church. I know I could make a business out of that. I mean, we did some creative things, very inexpensive. Churches spend all kinds of money. They don't need to spend all that much money. Banners. We got a guy in our church does these banners and prints. He can print anything. And there's people like that everywhere. But churches just don't get off the dime. There's this stuff that churches could do that would, you know, communicate to the community. All it says is a steeple and a cross. We don't communicate anything. But it's because churches just, they're busy with things and they have a hard time getting off the dime. If you came and just knocked on the door and said, hey, I could make any kind of banner that you want that would say something, give them a few examples, and churches would finally jump onto it. They can't do it on their own in so many areas. Church social media marketing, Facebook, all those things. A lot of churches just don't get off the dime. They don't know how to make a website, and they want to, but they never get around to it. Or perhaps you need a partner with someone, or you need to partner with someone else's ministry before starting one of your own. Maybe you can't think of anything. Maybe for whatever reason you can't just step out into the nowhere land of starting a ministry. Well, then help someone else's. Get on board with someone else's. I'm going to give you an example. This is a ministry that I do. It's not a nonprofit. It's a for-profit ministry. The personalized Bible materials. I told you that, you know, I inherited this thing with New Testaments and people were doing New Testament. Here's the New Testament. This is a cowboy church. He's got the cowboy kneeling. There are cowboy churches all over the United States. I never knew that. There are NASCAR people that are doing ministry. There are horseshoe people doing ministry. There are firemen and policemen and everything under the sun. And they all have their little ministry, and they all want their little cover with their address and maybe a message from the pastor. They're all doing that. So anyway, I had that thing. And I felt bad about all these ministries just handing out a New Testament. Someone who's never read the Bible gets this New Testament. They turn to page 1, which is Matthew chapter 1, and they read a bunch of names. That's how Matthew starts out. One name after another. The ancestry of Jesus. And I'm wondering, what in the world are they thinking of this? What is this book about? How far do they get in these names before they just put it down? So I thought, you know, is the New Testament the best thing to hand out to people? So I spent a few years writing some other things that might be useful. This is called the 30-second Bible. Now, this is how I print it. It doesn't have a cover. 30 seconds. It has a verse and a thought and a question for every day. There's 52 topics. People can read it topically. They can read them one every day. They can read through the whole book, whatever it is. It's just a small little thing of 100 pages. And there's just a verse, a thought, and a question. Exodus 23. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. And then there's a thought. Being a person of integrity means you have a spiritual and moral principles that guide your life. There's always pressure to get you to compromise. Plan to live your life guided by God's word. What sort of things does the crowd try to convince you to do? How do you respond? Okay? On and on and on. Faith. There's the topic of faith. Topic of gratitude. Topic of wisdom. Strength. Ephesians 6 verse 10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Thought. You can't do it. You feel like giving up. You are tired and worn out. You can't do it, but God can do it through you. God's mighty power is within you. Where in your life have you experienced God's power? Where in your life do you need God's power? So it's just simple stuff that someone that has never read the Bible ever in their life can read and go, oh, that's kind of encouraging. And that's kind of interesting. They can actually succeed at this. They can feel like they're getting somewhere rather than getting bogged down. Then I spent time writing what I call the Jesus Bible. You know, I've heard about Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Well, this is 150 pages. And in this 150 pages, I just organized all the things that the Bible talks about Jesus. So His birth, His teachings, His miracles, His betrayal, His death, His resurrection. And then the rest of the book is where Jesus shows up in every book of the Bible. Just one little, you know, something, a few notes on the side that would help. So 150 pages, they know all these things that the Bible talks about Jesus. People try to read the whole Bible. People live their whole life and never get through the whole Bible. There's a lot of stuff that's just hard to get through. So I thought, well, why don't I just abridge the Bible? Give people the highlights. Instead of trying to read the whole thing for the first time, why don't you just read the highlights of every single book? So here it is, one-third the size of the whole Bible, but they get the whole thing. You get them interested in, and then maybe they read the whole thing. So anyway, I want to talk about two things. You can start, you can join in something that exists like that, or you can start your own regional CLI seminary. So these Bible products that I have, I just print them like this. It has no cover. Just white. And then I just put covers, whatever the person wants, with their logo, their message, their picture on the front or on the inside. I have the New Testament. I have the NIV New Testament. I have the King James Bible. I have the King James Plus. That's this one. This ministry wanted the King James. They insisted on the King James. But I thought, well, let's make it so that someone new to the Bible could actually read it. So I added quotation marks, chapter headings, and I have in parentheses the explanation of the words that people can't understand. So it's like the easy-to-read King James Bible. I have the Spanish New Testament. I have the Jesus Bible. Part one is the harmony of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Part two is where Jesus shows up in every book of the Bible. It's only 150 pages. Someone gets introduced to Jesus in short order. Okay, I have the 32nd Bible. I showed you that. The Sampler Bible, one-third of the whole Bible. I also have something called the Walk with God track. I don't have it with me, but it's just a little track that folds. And it's and the title of it is Walk with God for 6 days and see if He exists. See if He shows up. So that's my form of evangelism. Someone is, you know, wondering why I believe in God or I'm talking to them about God. And then in the end, I just challenge them. You know, I don't. Maybe you don't believe in God. Maybe you don't think He exists. But tell you what, why don't you just walk with Him for 6 days, see if God shows up. And what do you have to lose? And the 6 days are like that 32nd Bible. There's a verse, there's a thought, and a question for each day of the 6 days. Will God show up? I don't know. That's up to God. So I personalize those. I put the church's logo and the church's name on that track. So if you wanted to start a vocational ministry, but you don't have any grand ideas, you don't know how to get going, you could just join in with this. For people in the USA, it's easy ministry to start. Just get some samples of each of the Bibles that we have. Approach as many churches as you can. You go and talk to them. In a later video, I tell you how to sell something. Approach as many churches as you can. Churches, you know, a visitor comes to their church, you know, it's hard to get a visitor to come to your church. They leave your church, and the only thing they have from your church is the bulletin. Why not give something that says who your church is, something that might change their whole life? You know, the Bible. The Bible stands for everything that your church is trying to do. Why don't you give them something with the Bible in it? Something that can make a huge difference. So you just talk to as many churches as you can. Hey, what do you hand out to your visitors? Oh, we don't hand out anything. Well, I'll tell you what. You could do this. It's very inexpensive. Take orders and call Marie. That's my wife. There's the number. And we take care of the rest. How easy can it be? You make a dollar on each book that you sell. So you sell 100 books to 100 different churches, you make $10,000. So you don't have to do anything. You just have to take a concept and give it to the people that are hurting in that area. Most pastors, their church isn't growing at all. So, simple. In Canada, for people in Canada, it's easy, but it's a hassle because of the border. But you can give to the, you can do the same thing as we do in the United States. All right, the rest of the world. Okay, the rest of the world. Some of you are in Africa. And, well, how are we going to do this? We can't just get samples and do it. Well, yes, you can. It's easy to just start out with a track. You can download. I'm going to have a track. You can just download it right from this course. You can print it yourself, cut it in half, make it an accordion, personalize it for someone, and there you go. You can do that free of charge. And next, you can make your own little book, the 30-second thing. It's only 100 pages. You could do it on a copier. 100 pages would be 50 sides times 2 cents for a dollar. You could print the whole thing. Okay? Now you got to put a cover on it. You print some cover on it, and then you can either staple it or, how are you going to do this? You know, so I say, next you can own your own 30-second Bible or Jesus Bible. 30-second Bible is 60 pages, which would be 15 on the copier, back to back. You can have it done for 2 cents a page, 60 cents a book. The Jesus Bible, 160 pages, you take 40 pages back to back. Average cost on the copier would be $1.60. So you can just do it yourself. Now, cover options. You can do a color copier. You could do a local printer, depending on how many. Now you get the problem of binding. You have a cover, but how am I going to put it on this? You can make it a notebook. You can staple holes in it and do a notebook and just put them in. You can do a spiral bound. I have a little spiral bound machine. It cuts the holes, and then you take those little spirals and you just stick them in, and bing, bada, boom, it's done. Or you can perfect bind it. You know, I have a big machine. You know, I invested in a machine. It goes across some glue. It takes the book and binds it. And then I have to cut it. I have a three-blade cutter. So that's a really fancy way to do it, but that's a lot of money. How else could you do it? You could just do it by hand and do the best you can. You know, again, when you start a business, you just do the best you can. You start out small. I started with a tiny little copier and a little printer and a little cutter, and I had to do all this work by hand. And gradually, as it grew, I got a bigger machine. Now I got this huge four-clamp binder machine. So it just takes time. The copyright, there's a minimal copyright cost for the Jesus Bible and the 30-second Bible of 20 cents. Otherwise, the rest is yours. So it's up to you. Okay. New Testament's in the sampler Bible. That's a little harder. I need permission to print this New Testament from the New International Version I have. The King James, of course, you can just do. It's in public domain. All the Bibles that I have, too. The sampler Bible is 400 pages. It's done on Bible paper. That would be very difficult for you to do in any economic kind of way. So you'd have to sell a whole bottle, you know, boatload of them and actually have them shipped. So, again, start small. Who knows whether you can even do this or whether it's needed. Start small. So that's joining, and I'm just offering mine as one possibility. There's a lot of ministries that you could join, okay? Or you could start your own regional CLI seminary. Well, what would you do? You get a CLI certificate or a degree. You take the How to Start a CLI Microseminary course. The basic idea is you recruit students who will do the lessons online together at a central location, or they do the lessons online in each one's home and then come together once a week for follow-up. And the idea is you could charge an appropriate fee for your services. Or we have this new thing called, you know, starting a house church. Now, you start a house church, it's a small little group. They're not going to pay you to have a little group in your house. But if you keep multiplying these and you become the network guy, the one who organizes and keeps all of these going, all of them together might be able to pay you. And so you start a vocational ministry as a network guy, someone who organizes the church planters. So, you know, I'm just giving you some options, some specific options, but keep your eyes open. Look around. There's needs everywhere. And, you know, when I started the Bible thing, I just started with this simple thing. How do I get people to read the Bible? That was my concern. Back in the day, Henry and I, we had a paradigm shift. We have to get people into the Word of God. We thought it would be easy. Turns out it's hard. How do you get people into the Word of God? You can't just hand them a New Testament. You got to make it, you know, something that's relevant to them. So how do you get, well, that one thing led to another, the Bible-y. This connection, all of a sudden, it's now a vocational ministry. So start with where you're at. Start with something, you know, a need that God is, something that you're frustrated with, a problem that you see out there in the Christian world, and just start small and go for it. Do something. You can do it.